Oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh.
The Apostle Paul, after 5.5 chapters, he writes this, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about it in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. So be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. And don't forget to pray for me. These are the words with which the Apostle Paul begins to conclude the letter of Ephesians. There's a couple of short paragraphs there that are kind of personal notes. But as he comes to this conclusion, and when I read that conclusion, you know what comes to mind? The last confirmation class I've ever taught. Every time. Paul is saying, okay, I taught you all this stuff, and you're not done. This isn't graduation. This is a beginning. I've taught you all of these things that you need to do. And you know what? Just knowing them doesn't do you any good whatsoever. What you need to do is put them into practice. I give this, I'm not done, you're not done speech to every confirmation class I've ever had. I tell them on the last week things like, this is not the end of the journey. This is just the beginning. I say things like, even we who are leaders, we're not finished with our spiritual journeys and we're far older than you. And so you need to continue in your spiritual journey as well. And something along the lines of, although we've done a lot of learning these past 13 weeks, 15 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it's been, that's not enough just to know it in your head. It's to live it in your life as well. We really want the confirmation classes, those middle schoolers, to know that they're not done. This isn't an achievement. It is of sorts, but it's not a finish line. It's a starting point and to begin a journey of putting all of that into practice. The Apostle Paul comes before this young church of Ephesians and does much the same thing. He says, guys, I could teach you everything. And you know what? It doesn't do you a bit of good if you don't put it into practice. And when Paul summarizes it, he puts it into two things. One is stand firm. Did you hear that in that passage of Scripture? Over and over again, he just says stand. Stand firm. Stand in your faith, even as life gets difficult and hairy. Stand firm. And then there's a second one. Pray. And that's today's sermon. That was last week's, the stand firm. This week is pray. Pray. Today is Father's Day. Last year after Father's Day, my mom, who likes to find obscure things for me, sent me an article from a columnist in her local paper about Father's Day. And he's the religious columnist. He's a pastor. And he wrote this thing called Fathering Skills Are Not a Priority in the Bible. Michael Riley. He says, on this Father's Day weekend, should you go looking for examples of what a good father looks like, my advice to you is stay away from the Bible. And he says, let's just take a gander at these hapless fathers, shall we? Adam. I'm willing to cut Adam a little slack. He was, after all, the very first father, and how would he know anything about raising kids? But if he'd managed to say, hey, Cain, keep your hands to yourself and stop picking on your brother once in a while, we all might be better off. Noah, proof positive that even the righteous among us can do something stupid and take it out on our kids, which is just what Noah did as soon as he got off the boat. Abraham, crotchety old coot, had two kids late in life and pretty much tried to murder both of them. Jacob, every expert from Dr. Phil to Dr. Spock on down to your Aunt Fanny will tell you not to play favorites among your darlings. Jacob must have missed that memo. He favored Joseph over his 11 other children so blatantly that some of them tried to attack him and left him for dead. David, a man after God's own heart, Scripture calls him. Swell poet, great king, but as a daddy, he stunk up the joint, raising hooligans. And the child he had, who was born out of lust and murder, turned out to be wise old Solomon. Go figure. Hosea. When Hosea named his kids, he didn't stick with Tom, Dick, or Harry. No. Hosea wanted his kids to have names that sent messages. He named one of his kids Not to Be Pitied, and another Not My People. How'd you like to face the kids on the playground with names like those? There's at least one father in the Bible, though, who took his job seriously with tenderness and courage. Joseph, the adopted father of Jesus. He accepted this child of wonder into his life and heart, proving that love is thicker than blood. He taught Jesus, protected him, and did the best he could. And what more could any child ask for? And on this day of memory and celebration, may your fathers be honored by you and blessed by God. Now, he might think that the Bible's not a great place to go for an image of father. But you know what? That was Jesus' favorite image. Over and over again, he called God Father. I did a quick scan at BibleGateway.com of the NIV. The word Father, as referring to God, appears in the gospel approximately 160 times. All of them spoken by Jesus. Calling God Father. And at least once, he used the word, an Aramaic word, Abba. Jesus spoke Aramaic. The Gospels are written in Greek, and every once in a while we get these Aramaic words. And one of them is, in prayer, Jesus says, Abba. One of the interesting things about that, we translate that word Father, but that may not be a great translation. What scholars tell us, and actually it still happens today, kids who speak Aramaic, the first word they speak is Abba. In other words, Dada. When Jesus prayed, he didn't solemnly say, Father. He prayed, Dad. Hey, Dad. How do you pray? Do you pray as if you're praying to your dad or to Father? What are your prayers like? What makes a good prayer? I have a brief video clip I want to show you about what makes a good prayer. This is from Bruce Almighty. Have you seen Bruce Almighty? Not everyone, so I better explain. Bruce Almighty is Jim Carrey. He's Bruce, and he's been given the powers of God. God is Morgan Freeman. You're going to see the two of them in this scene. And what's happening is that Bruce is visiting heaven, and he's worried about his girlfriend, Grace. And they have this little exchange between God and Bruce.
You can't kneel down in the middle of a highway and live to talk about it, son.
But why? Why now?
Bruce, you have the divine spark. You have the gift for bringing joy and laughter to the world. I know. I created you.
Quit bragging.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the spark.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to pray, son. Go ahead. Use them.
Lord, feed the hungry and bring peace to all of mankind. How's that?
Great. If you want to be Miss America. Now, come on. What do you really care about? You want it back?
No. I want her to be happy. No matter what that means, I want her to find someone who will treat her with all the love she deserved from me. I want her to meet someone. Who'll see her always. As I do now. Through your eyes.
Now that's a prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
It's good. Good.
Do you pray Miss America prayers? I get stuck in that from time to time. Have you? I was stuck in it recently. I was praying Miss America prayers. There was no heart. I was praying because I was supposed to, not because I really wanted to. And in the last couple of weeks, life got overwhelming. My to-do list was too long and the days were too short. And I stopped being nice with God. It was a Tuesday night in a car. And I'd had it. And I went after God. And you know what? I really didn't care about the outcome. And I didn't care what he thought of me. In that moment, it was a kid and his dad. And I was able to just go. And I didn't have any solutions and didn't say, hey, God, could you fix this in this way? I didn't even say, hey, use me and give me the gifts to make it happen. I just said, God, there's a lot of stuff I got to do and I don't know how I'm getting it done. Take it. Make it happen. There's stuff here on my list of things to do that I'm really bad at. And I don't want the gifts to be able to do them. I want them to go away. It wasn't, oh God, feed the hungry. It was, hey God, right now, it's rough. And I ain't liking it. And I laid it all out. And I have to tell you, and a psychologist might think something different, but for me, that changed everything. Absolutely everything. And I need that reminder from time to time. Apparently I'm quite thick-headed and I forget these things, you know. It's not the first time I've prayed a prayer like that. But every once in a while, I fall into that Miss America prayer. And I'm just praying what I'm supposed to pray. And not what I really feel in my heart. And on this Father's Day, I know that that dad image isn't easy for all of us. Some of our dads are not the easiest people to talk to, or the ones we would first choose to go to for help. But God is the heavenly dad. And all those good characteristics we talked about that make a dad good, he's there for you in all of those. Even with the money for ice cream. That's the scripture lesson that all of this is coming from today. It's from Luke chapter 11, verses 10 through 13. And I just want to share this with you. It says this, don't bargain with God, be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? Or if your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask Him? It's a trust issue, I think. We pray Miss America, I'll put it on me. I pray Miss America prayers because I don't always trust God. So I'm afraid of where he's going to take me if I really put it all in his hands. And Jesus says, really? You're afraid of your heavenly dad? He's not going to give you a snake when you ask for fish, or a spider when you ask for an egg, or in one when you ask for bread, you're not going to get sawdust. He gives you what you need, what's good, what's there, and helps you along the way. When you pray, do you trust God with the whole thing? I pray that in the weeks ahead, that you'll begin to talk to God maybe a little differently than you have before. Maybe this week, give it a shot. Don't start your prayers with God or Father. Say Dad. Or if that's too scary, pick a friend's name. And just talk to him like he's right there across the room, right in front of you. And trust that when you put it in his hands, good things will happen. Let's pray together. Dad, thanks for this group of people. For this opportunity that we have to just get together. And especially today, thank you for prayer. Thank you for being a dad who hears us, who cares for us like we care for our little children, our grown children, and our children at every stage of life. And Dad, could you help the men in this room to model your love for their kids? For the kids that they come into contact with that might not be biologically theirs, but are ones that they can share your love and your peace and your joy. Dad, let us go forth from this place not talking at you, but speaking with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.